I forgot the intro.
You waited until...
No, let's just keep rolling.
Keep rolling. Oh, it is rolling.
That's yeah, no, fine. It's fine.
Okay.
I did. I waited just as good until you hit the button, and then I realized I forgot it.
Oh, I thought it was for comic effect.
Well, it was, slightly. Hi, and welcome to Good Content, a podcast about living out our faith more boldly through radical love. I'm Alex.
And I'm Erin.
And we're so glad that you're with us. For this fifth episode, we're going to be talking about statues.
Statues.
But before we do, what time is it, Erin?
It's about 2:49. Just kidding. Actually,
it is time to roll the intro song for the song to slap.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
Well, welcome.
Wow, you expanded it.
I tried. I did what I could.
Yeah, you, it's like the ongoing composition. You add a little bit each week, and I sit on the edge of my seat waiting, what are the next notes?
See? What are the next ways in which I will hit a pitch that I cannot understand?
You'll have to listen to next week's podcast to find out.
That's true. So, also, we haven't done episodes in a few weeks because life is a thing that occurs.
It is.
Haven't been feeling great.
It's a hard time, friends.
Yeah, mental health is a thing that happens. Tiredness and bodies are a thing. Work's a thing. So various different things have caused us to not be releasing episode every single week as we would have liked, but we're back.
Yeah. Thanks for sticking with us through the hard times. Hope we can stick with you through your hard times.
Yeah. Also, I think it's important too, to think about inspiration. And for a while there, when we were trying to record something in these weeks that we didn't do anything, this little gap, nothing was really striking us as something that we really wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. And rather than just like wasting time and airspace, I feel like it's better if we wait until there's a topic we're passionate about.
Yeah.
And feel inspired to talk about.
I would also add to that we are in our third year of MFA, which is the last year for us. So we spend a lot of time having to write, whether we want to or not, whether we have inspiration or not. And I feel like there is a threshold for that. And once you reach it, you can't do it anymore. But
factual. That is accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, we write day in and day out when we don't feel like it, when there's no inspiration. And I think when you're doing something like this, where you're trying to be led by the Holy Spirit, you really have to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Preach it.
And there's so many great Catholic podcasts out there that are releasing episodes every single week about super relevant topics. And we maybe won't have that same release history.
Release history.
But we are going to make an episode when we feel the Spirit's moving us.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that'll be every week. maybe it won't be, but you should check back and see what we're up to just when the Spirit moves you.
Yeah, and if you subscribe on whatever platform you're listening, it'll just get, like, added to your queue.
Yeah.
And you can listen whenever you feel like it.
Mm-hmm. And we're on Apple Podcasts, too, now. So if you have a friend or family member or someone that you know that wants to hear us talk about different topics but doesn't want to get Spotify, we are on Apple Podcasts, too. In Google Podcasts, so there's a lot of places that we are now. So we're gonna talk about statues, Erin.
Mm-hmm. What's a statue? That's a dumb question. You know what I'm trying to
ask. No, that's an excellent question. That is an excellent question. What is a statue?
Are you about to ask the dictionary?
I'm about to ask Siri.
Ask Siri, oh.
Hey, Siri. What's a statue?
A statue is a freestanding sculpture in which the realistic, full-length figures of persons or animals, or non-representational forms are carved or cast in a durable material such as wood, metal, or stone. Do you want me to keep reading?
Yes, I do.
I thought so.
Well, go on.
She's just not gonna do it.
Go on. She stopped.
I thought you wanted me to read more, so I won't.
Well, anyway, you get the point. That's what a statue is. In definition. What is a statue in reality? And why is everybody so set on talking about it all the time?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, something Siri left out there, maybe she would have read it to us if she hadn't chosen not to, is the sense of honoring somebody or some, what was the weird phrase you said, non-representational thing? Yeah, you don't make a statue of, a stick of butter. I mean, maybe I would because I love to bake.
Love butter.
Butter, okay, let me use a better example.
In fact, that would be, sorry to cut you, but that would be a better statue than many of the statues that I see. Stick of butter.
You would not make a statue of, an ant trap.
Right.
You just,
it's oddly specific.
You're right. But yeah, because, you don't want to honor an ant trap, but, you have a specific reason when you make a statue. You're like, I want to honor this person. I want everyone to see them. They want to...
Wait, but what if you are Terminator? That's the wrong word.
Exterminator?
What if you're a Terminator like Arnold Schwarzenegger? I'll be back to kill your pests. I'll be back. What if you're an exterminator and you need a statue of an ant trap, actually?
Okay, fair.
Just playing devil's advocate over here.
Okay, so I'm going to give an answer to the devil. I will not answer to the devil, not today. But
we don't negotiate with spiritual terrorists. We don't do that.
We say bye, get out the door. But you bring up a point, I think, about positionality,
mm-hmm.
and who a statue will be important to, who derives meaning from it, and as we talk about in our teaching, your context and the context of the object, they both factor in a lot. So an ant trap statue is going to mean a lot more to Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Exterminator. I forgot what I said for his last name. Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Okay. That would mean more to him than to us.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, what's your feeling on statues? You've given us the intellectual. What's your feeling on statues?
Can I tell a story to describe my feelings?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, this story is even more relevant than I thought. A couple years back, I went to visit a convent in New Orleans to see if I wanted to enter. And the sisters, the first thing they did was bring me to the cemetery where the other sisters were buried from their order. They were Carmelites, which was morbidly funny because they were they were elderly too. So they were like, we're going to be here soon.
Wow.
And so that a gravestone, especially in New Orleans where the graves are raised because of the flooding, that to me is a monument. I even say monument instead of statue there. There are sometimes statues on tombstones and in cemeteries, but that is meant to honor a person who has died, to remember them, remember the relevant things about them, who they were when they lived. And then other statues you find in a cemetery like that, especially a Christian cemetery, is things like crosses, maybe a statue of Our Blessed Mother, or Jesus on the cross. Those things, they bring to mind holiness. for you and comfort. And they remind you where you want to direct your worship to God and whom you want to continue praying for, which is the people who have died. So after I went with the sisters to the cemetery, we were driving around like this circle thingy in New Orleans, technical term, circle thingy. And there was a Confederate statue. And this was around the time, I think it was like after Ferguson, and people were starting to like tear down statues. It was like an era when that was happening frequently. And the sisters were like, well, like, I think they should leave these statues up because, like, otherwise, how will you remember history?
Yikes.
Yeah, so that, needless to say, I did not enter there. And I think this is a really common feeling among, especially elderly folks. And, I mean, they were Southern, like, Louisiana Southern. And they thought, they said the only way we can remember history, like the Civil War, is by having statues. So what I feel is that that is a disguised way of saying, like, I want to continue honoring this Confederate person, and the only way I can remember them is by honoring them. So I'll wrap up this story by talking about a tweet that I recently saw, and I apologize because I can't remember who tweeted it, but they said, wow, like a history degree is the most expensive degree to get because instead of textbooks, you need to get all these statues.
Hilarious. God, that's good.
Yeah. So what does it mean to you, Alex?
Well, I hail from ye olde Tennessee, as I've said. So that's pretty south, pretty southern. My interaction with statues and monuments and stuff like that has mostly been reminders of the history of the bloody past of, you know, the wars that have taken place. You know, I used to live near Stones River Battlefield, where one of the battles took place, and such a sad place to be. I mean, I've walked through Stones River Battlefield before. Such a sad place, full of sorrow. Mm. You can just feel the death there. You can feel the sadness. And, you know, it's not a place that I would soon return to. Yeah. If you go to the little downtown square of my town, there are plaques and statues and such things honoring the Daughters of the Confederacy and such things like that. Buildings in my, where I went to college, undergrad, they had one of, our ROTC building was named after Nathan Bedford Forrest. Yikes. So those, yeah, yikes. So for those of you who don't know who Nathan Bedford Forrest is, he is the man who created the Ku Klux Klan, the KKK.
They named a building after him?
Mm-hmm. It's called Forrest Hall. And so students were really ticked off, like really pissed. I mean, granted, very... you know, like, totally valid. Mm-hmm. I'm pissed, too, about it. And they were, like, petitioning to get it renamed. So I grew up seeing and understanding that these statues and monuments, plaques and all these things, people would, even the Confederate flag, people would say is a symbol of our Southern heritage. But I think people aren't really considering what the word heritage means.
Yeah.
And how everyone doesn't inherit the same thing. So if you want to think about it like this, think of the South and the North as mom and dad. And the war was their great divorce. Mm. And we inherited on the mom and on the dad side, in the South, we inherited racism that continued, and lynching. We inherited a Reconstruction South where Black people were chased down by dogs, where their bodies were mutilated for public show. And then where after emancipation, after Juneteenth, even, when all black people were free, we inherited monuments and statues to glorify the people that caused all the pain. So you can understand why I don't have a fuzzy feeling about statues. Like, they are reminders to my people. And as my sister told me the other day, because she's a history major, she told me that the statues that were erected in the South were put there in particular to remind and to intimidate black people from voting, mm-hmm. and to remind them of their, quote, remind them of their place.
Yikes.
So those are bad statues.
Yeah.
Are there good statues? Totally. There are great statues, like statues of Our Lady, statues of Our Lord, statues of great saints and martyrs, crucifixes, beautiful art of people who are so heroic.
Yeah.
But I think that the ones that people are talking about, like in the South, in particular, are horrible.
Yeah.
And shouldn't be there. I consider them artifacts of terror.
Yes.
I consider them evil. I consider the deeds that they did to be really evil. And I have no fuzzy warm feelings, when I see them, and I have no hurt feelings when people destroy them. I have to be honest about that.
Yeah, like, I want to maybe, like, bring in an analogy for people who, like, I think, unfortunately, a lot of white people especially, like, do not want to conceptualize it because it's so, like, ingrained in us. But, like, think about your church, and imagine if in your church we had statues of, like, the King of Babylon.
Yeah.
For who, like, went in and, like, the Babylonian exile happened for the Israelites.
Or Pharaoh.
Or Pharaoh, yeah.
Pharaoh who kept the Egyptians. I mean, who kept the Jews.
Yep. Or even, like, I don't know, like, people in more recent history, maybe, like, if we had a statue of Martin Luther in our Catholic church because we wanted to remember that happened. We don't need a statue to remember it, and we would be angry. I would be angry as a white Catholic person to have these statues in my church, because I'm like, this does not have a place here. I do not want to honor these people.
Yeah.
And I think it's an analog, not
totally
the same of what's happening in the South, but
no. It's a great representation, though. It's a great correspondence to what is happening. I mean, if you walked into your church and you saw a statue of Martin Luther in the vestibule, greeting you on the way in, you would be I'd be livid.
Yeah.
I mean, the church has declared Martin Luther a heretic. Mm-hmm. That's not a person that we want to glorify.
Right.
Same is true of Pharaoh who kept the Jews. Like, we don't want that statue.
Right.
We don't want that as a reminder of history.
Yeah, and we're not saying, like, we're not even condemning these people. I don't think we're not saying, like, I hate this person. I hope this person's in hell because I don't have a statue of them. No, we pray for them. We pray for, like, God to have mercy on these people who have done terrible things, because that's what our difficult call is as Catholics. But, like, there's a huge difference between, like, praying for somebody and having a statue of them.
Right. And you're not, I mean, a more stark contrast to this would be, a more serious and stark example would be, you don't have a bust of Hitler in a synagogue. Like, that would be horrible.
Right.
Absolutely horrible. And I'm not saying this to compare oppressions between slaves and the terrifying, disgusting, awful mistreatment and genocide of Jews. But they are similar.
Yeah.
Persecutions against people for their race, for their difference, and because of white supremacy. I mean, that is what the Holocaust and the transatlantic slave trade have in common, is that white supremacy is the cause of it. It's the cause, and the symptom of it is these statues that people erect in the South to remind people of the past. But why would you want to remind someone of such a horrible thing? Why would you want to remind someone of something that's so terrifying and so anxiety-inducing?
Right.
But that's because the people who create, the people who write history and the people who make history books and create statues and decide where they go are not people from marginalized communities.
So do you think that is the reason why we can, so easily conceptualize that for Jewish folks from in the Holocaust, and we understand the Hitler statue in the synagogue example, but people get so angry about it in the South? Is it because of the writing of history?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think it is the writing of history. I think that's exactly what it is. And also, I just have to say, I mean, I know Jewish people are different ethnically mm-hmm. from whites, but a lot of them are white passing. They look like white people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are white.
Yeah.
Some Jews are white. And I think it's easier for white people to have sympathy on people who look the same as them
mm-hmm.
or similar.
Yeah.
So people can look at the Holocaust and say, oh, that was horrible.
Yeah.
A bunch of people were really hurt and killed. Genocide happened. But genocides happen all the time. In Africa, they happen all the time in other countries.
Armenia.
Yeah. Genocides are not, nobody has a moratorium on genocide. Unfortunately. Unfortunately, but the reality is that genocide happens. It happened in Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
It happens, it happens all the time. But the reason, I think, is because it was so systematic
mm-hmm.
against the Jews. It was so calculated. And also, so many people died in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Whereas slavery and the transatlantic slave trade took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It kept going.
Right.
And it honestly, the slavery part of it's over, but the racism is still there.
Exactly.
Just like anti-Semitism is still a thing, but it's not, I wouldn't say it's not as systemic
exactly
as racism or anti-blackness against black people.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's all to say that it's foolish to think that someone would want a reminder of the terror that happened to their people and the trauma. So why are we talking about this on a Catholic podcast, though? That's the question, right?
Yeah.
Why are we talking about this on a Catholic podcast?
Yeah, so it's come up in a couple of ways recently. We have seen Catholic people defending statues of saints. There has been, defacing of statues, particularly mm-hmm. of the Blessed Virgin, beheadings and graffiti on statues of her, which, we take offense at.
Definitely.
But most recently, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York,
mm-hmm.
I think she was talking about, the Capitol Building Rotunda, and the statues of people who were there. And she was pointing out how the statues are so, the majority of them are of white men. And she used the example of St. Damien of Molokai representing Hawaii. St. Damien, he was a priest who, he was white, and he went on mission, to Hawaii and worked especially with the lepers. And, honest to God, he was Christ to the lepers. He was a very, very good man. However, he was not a native Hawaiian. He looked like a white man because he was a white man, and he looked like everybody else who was represented, in that building. So the representative said, here's an example of where we are marginalizing women and people of color by not having a Hawaiian represent Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And Bishop Barron posted in response to that, basically like calling it ridiculous, because he was characterizing the representative's argument as if she were accusing St. Damien of being like a colonialist and a white supremacist.
Which isn't true.
No. She was saying like there's a bigger issue here and our representations are showing the issue. She had nothing wrong with St. Damien. Like, I think she...
No, yeah. She even said like St. Damien did great things.
Right.
I'm pretty sure she said that. And so... She says in her Instagram post, even when we select figures to tell the stories of colonized places, it is the colonizers and settlers whose stories are told, and virtually no one else. This is what patriarchy and white supremacy culture looks like. It's not radical or crazy to understand the influence white supremacist culture has historically had in our overall culture and how it impacts the present day. So... What ends up happening is that Bishop Barron gets really, passionate on his video, as he does, which is part of the reason he's such a powerful orator.
Yeah.
But he gets passionate on his video and he starts, you know, talking about, you know, what this great saint has done and how he eventually died of leprosy himself. And ultimately it misses the point. It's tone deaf and it misses the point because AOC is not trying to say that St. Damien is a bad guy or that he's a colonizer, but she's saying this is an example of the whitewashing of history.
Right.
So this is an example. This is representative of the problem that we have, because the reality is that me and my sister did a little digging and, in preparation for this episode, and my sister doing her, you know, doing her research, her very cursed research. So, you know, if someone out there is a St. Damien scholar, please email us and we'll get it right. But my sister said that the people of Hawaii, while, he did help them, that they actually wished that they actually wanted a Hawaiian, a native Hawaiian priest.
Mm-hmm.
But that St. Damien is who they got. Probably part of the reason they wanted one was because of colonization. And they were probably scared of him. Because everyone who was trying to destroy their culture looked like him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you can't deny that he did great things. But that's not what AOC was trying to say. You know, she wasn't trying to say that he did horrible things. She was saying that the person who represents Hawaii should not be a white person. And I agree 100%. It should be Queen Kamehameha.
Yeah, and what she was talking about, Representative Ocasio-Cortez, is the writing of history that you brought up a little while ago. We cannot write the history of Hawaii as if it began when white people colonized it.
Right.
And I guess the issue, or the thing that makes me weary and anxious about Bishop Barron's response, is that I have seen a lot of people share that video, like people I love and respect, particularly in spiritual matters. So I fear that based on his really large audience, he is leading people astray, causing division where there really is not division, and like shifting our focus away from like the representation of all the people who make up the Catholic Church. To perceive that we're being attacked. And that also undermines the places where we actually are being attacked.
Yeah, it definitely does. Also, side note, before I respond to that point, mm-hmm. It's not Queen Kamehameha, it's King Kamehameha I. So, in addition to Father Damien, the Capitol houses a statue of King Kamehameha I.
Mm.
But that's what she was saying, is that there are two men representatives and one of them is a white man.
Yeah.
And he's not even Hawaiian.
Yeah.
So she's saying, why not Queen, excuse me, and I'm going to butcher this. I'm sorry. Why not Queen Liliuokalani? Why not the only queen regent of Hawaii
mm-hmm.
instead of, you know, King Kamehameha I or St. Damien? So, you know, so when you cherry pick what someone says, and then you make it into a soundbite, and then everyone in the Catholic talking circle starts pushing it all around the internet, it makes us look uneducated. It makes the stereotype of Christians being uneducated and all feeling and no facts, it just pushes that narrative even further. And it's divisive, just like you said. I mean, and it does, like you said, take away from the moments in which the church is really being attacked. It's like, am I okay with people defacing statues of Our Lord and Lady? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Great saints? Absolutely not. I'm not okay with it. But I am okay with people calling out white supremacy and patriarchy when they see it.
Including in the church.
Including in the church. The church is not infallible. The church is not above critique. It's still run by human beings. and we make a lot of mistakes in the church.
Yeah.
Just like anyone does in any institution. So I think these comments, very well-meaning, by Bishop Barron and others about the statues, to be honest with you, I'm so sick of hearing about these dang statues that I could just scream.
Yeah.
Like, statues in no way stand in the personhood of the person they depict.
Right.
In no, absolutely no way.
And that, like, brings up another point that makes me really angry also about the statue thing, which is, like, we choose what we get fired up about, right?
Yes.
So many Catholics are fired up about statues. Not, like, a fraction of those people are fired up about Black lives.
Where's that same energy?
Exactly.
That's my question. Where is that same, I want to see that same energy and hustle out of y'all when Black people are getting shot.
Yeah.
When police are brutalizing innocent citizens and guilty citizens. I want to see that kind of energy when y'all are talking about getting statues erected of, like, Frederick Douglass or people who made a difference in, like, the Underground Railroad. I want to see that kind of energy.
Yeah, or, like, Black saints, especially.
Yeah, where's all that energy about getting statues of Saint Thea Bowman? Is she a saint?
She's not a saint yet.
She's blessed. She's servant of God. I'm sorry, she's servant of God. Right. she's servant of God. But where is that energy?
Right.
Where is that? I want to see that kind of... I want to see some hustle out of y'all.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, why wouldn't you want representatives of, like, our entire Catholic Church? Like, how beautiful is that, that the gospel has been spread from the Middle East to all areas of the world? Like, why aren't we representing that?
If we want people to take us seriously as the Universal Church, then we need to take ourselves seriously as the Universal Church.
Preacher, yes!
And we need to literally depict us ourselves as the Universal Church. Because I'm telling you right now, if I was somebody who's on the outside looking in, I'd be like, that's the whitest church I ever seen.
Exactly.
That is the whitest, straightest, most waspiest, except without the P, waskiest,
wasp,
white Anglo-Saxon Catholic. waskiest place I've ever seen. And that just is so far from the truth. Right. Our Lord and Lady weren't white people. Mm-hmm. And they come to us in all races.
Yep.
Because they want us to be able to identify with them. And how amazing is that?
Yeah, it's huge. It's truly huge.
It's so amazing. I want to see some hustle out of y'all when it comes to getting Black saint photos and prints and paintings on the walls of the churches that we attend.
Because want to know why? Like, what happens when we don't have those things is, like, a person who is a person of color or a person who is not straight, like, who is, like, somewhere in the LGBTQ community, they walk into a church and they say, or they just see it from the outside, they say, I'm not welcome here. It's not even a possibility for me to conceptualize maybe being a part of this community.
Absolutely.
And then we fail at spreading the gospel.
Absolutely.
We totally fail at evangelization. And that is, like, the millstone hung around our necks.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Absolutely. I mean, it's just, it's so sad to me to think that if we just put some paintings of people who don't look like white people on the walls, or used some fair representation, or made Catholic churches sanctuaries for people of all different backgrounds and creeds, how many people we could bring into communion with the Lord.
Yeah.
But instead, we don't do that. We whitewash history. We whitewash our church. And we'll all have to answer for that. You know, like, it's not just one of those things where, you know, when we all pass away and the final judgment comes, that we're all going to be safe from having to talk about why we didn't do these things. Like, the Lord sees our hearts. And it, you know, honestly, the lack of depiction of Black saints, of Latinx saints, of Asian saints, and I do not want any emails about the one picture of the Black saint you saw that one time.
Yeah.
I don't want any emails about that.
Tokenism, friends.
That's called tokenism, exactly. And no, I want there to be a wall of Black saints. I want there to be a wall of Asian saints. I want there to be a wall of multicultural saints. Mm. I want there to be a statue of a saint who struggled with drugs. Because I know there was a saint that had, I can't remember his name, or maybe, what was his name?
I forget his name. He was Chinese.
He was a Chinese, yeah, he had drug issues, right?
Yeah, he died with a drug addiction.
Exactly.
He's a doctor.
I want to see that kind of energy out of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that kind of energy out of y'all, because the reality is that when you place people in people's purview that are just so perfect looking, and they are so white looking, and they seem to never have had a struggle, people can't relate.
Yeah.
Can't relate.
And, like, I want to challenge you right now. Ask yourself, when you picture a saint, when you picture a person, is there a default that happens in your mind? If there is, that's a sign of racism. I'm not saying, like, you're racist, you're a bad person, but you've been conditioned that way, and I just really challenge you to break down that default.
Break it down. Mm. Burn it down.
Burn it down.
Burn it down. Like, set fire to that notion and explode it.
Yeah.
Like, that, I know I have it.
Yeah.
When I think about saints, I think about white people.
I think about white men.
White men in particular, like white St. Augustine, our favorite saint, white St. Augustine, who's not white. that's what I think of. And that is a tragedy.
Yeah.
Because the reality is that I should be thinking of, like, you know, great saints and martyrs of the church that are people who look like me too.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to be raising, if I have kids, I'm going to be raising Black kids.
Mm-hmm.
And how am I going to explain to them why they don't see any saints or any statues that depict Our Lady and Lord? No pictures, or very rarely see anyone in our church that looks like us. Right. What am I supposed to say to them?
What do you say when they come to you, which they will, and say, does that mean I can't be a saint?
Exactly. That's what do you say? Because I don't see anyone who looks like me, does that mean I can't be one?
Right. It just hurts my heart.
It hurts my heart, too. It hurts my heart, too. And I, gosh, I just really wish that this conversation around statues was more productive instead of something that is a thinly veiled racism. Because that's what it is.
It is.
When you get more upset and indignant about a statue of a saint than you do about people dying in front of you, on the streets, in their homes, just everywhere, in police custody, out of police custody, when they're walking, when they're running, you know, just unarmed, and just when you get more indignant about someone criticizing Saint Damien than you do about the fact that culture of Hawaiian people has been whitewashed, that's when there's a problem. That's thinly veiled racism, y'all.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that if you have a racist thought or you have a racist, do a racist action, that you are a racist, but it is a racist mechanism that's in place.
Yeah. And so, like, to bring this all kind of full circle, the way that these things are all related is, like, what we've been talking about is that statues can be really powerful in a positive way.
Yeah.
And we need to harness that power for good.
Absolutely.
Instead of, you know, crying foul when it's not really there.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to be known as the people who cry wolf about someone who is not even criticizing the church.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that there needs to be more careful dialogue around how we talk about how people who are non-religious talk about saint statues and mm-hmm. other things. It should be more careful.
Yeah.
But I also think that we need to remember that when someone attacks a statue, that that does not stand in the personhood of the church,
mm-hmm.
that does not stand for the church. That statues do not stand for a person,
mm-hmm.
that a person is a person and that is it.
Right.
And a statue is one person's depiction of that person and it's their deeds.
It's a story. It's a story.
Exactly. And you don't like every story you see. I don't.
Yeah.
And some of you love. So, you know, I definitely think that we don't want to turn statues into golden calves.
Preach it.
When we have our Lord right in front of us. When we have people who are around us that are going to become saints.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I have a question to pose to you. Do you think that Jesus or the saints that are depicted in these statues, what do you think they would say about them?
Mm. Great question.
I don't have the answer to that. Mm. I want you to sit with it. I just want y'all to sit with it. What do you think they would say? What do you think St. Damien would say about his statue being in a Capitol building? Do you think he'd be okay with it?
What a good question.
He probably wouldn't even want it there.
No, he wouldn't want a statue of himself.
He's a saint, so therefore, he's humble. Mm. He's focusing all his will and intention on God and serving. Do you think he'd want to be deified in the version of some kind of a statue? Do you even think Jesus would, you know, want us to care more about a statue of him than we do of him?
Exactly.
And I mean, I have a statue on my table right now, and it's beautiful, and I love it.
Yeah.
And every time I look at it, it's a beautiful reminder of Jesus. But I know that if someone came into my house and broke that statue, my faith is still here.
Right. Jesus is in the tabernacle of your soul.
Like, right.
Statue will remind you, and that's awesome. That's all it can do, though.
And I'd be mad as hell.
Yeah.
Pardon my French, but I'd be mad as hell if anybody broke it because I paid for it $40.
It's beautiful.
And it's a beautiful statue, and I love it, and it's a reminder, but it would be, essentially, it's a beautiful post-it note.
Yes.
Essentially, that's what a statue is. It's a gorgeous, expertly crafted post-it note. So if somebody came in and ripped up your post-it note of a reminder, you'd be mad as hell, but you are not going to fly off the handle about it.
Right.
And also, you're going to realize that that post-it note doesn't stand for the thing you have to do.
Precisely.
It's just a reminder. So, before we end this episode, we have to move into our last segment.
Yeah.
Where we talk about one piece of good content that we've consumed recently.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. Let's see. My piece of good content, it's so hard for me to choose, but my piece of good content, I think, I've been watching this show called Angel. And it's not religious at all. It's about a vampire. And it's a spinoff of Buffy.
Oh.
But you know what? People would look at it and they would say, that's a show totally of the world. There's nothing good in it. But the reality is that Angel is this like murderous, in the past, he was a murderous vampire who fed on humans without any concern for them. But then he gets his soul back by way of some gypsies, which I don't like the word gypsy, so I'll say Romani.
Mm-hmm.
But by way of some Romani people who basically he calls it they cursed him with getting his soul back, but I see it as a blessing. So he gets his soul back, and then all of a sudden he wants to do good. So mm-hmm. now he becomes this like avenger of the innocents. So like, he goes around the city of Los Angeles saving innocent people from demons and evil things that are lurking in the dark. And I think that Angel's story is the story of redemption.
Preach it.
It's a story of like, you know, you were once bad. You did bad things, But now you've changed your ways and you've become so good, and your soul has, it's been a conversion of your soul. So I think that's good content. Now, is every episode good content? Decidedly not. But I think the overall theme of it is really good content. Plus, it's usually like PG-13, so there's no, you know, if you have like young kids or whatever, they can watch it without like being scandalized.
Love a good redemption story.
Me too. I love it. What about you, Erin?
Mine is, I kind of have two. I have like one and a half. The half is that, like, it's not actually a piece of content, but I just want to call out a Catholic person who is, like, very active on social media, especially Instagram, and is doing a lot to call out some of, or not call out, but, like, bring attention to some lesser-known saints and blesseds, who I think really represent the Universal Church. She also gives great talks. I just really like her a lot. Her name is Meg Hunter-Kilmer.
Yeah, I follow her too. She's so good.
She's doing good work.
She's doing good work.
So I don't have a particular piece of content there. But my full piece of content is a podcast that I've been listening to a lot lately called Ask Father Josh. It's with Father Josh Johnson.
So good.
He is just like made for such a time as this.
So good.
Giving totally of himself during this time. He answers a lot of questions that listeners write to him. God bless him. Pray for him because he's doing the Lord's work.
We don't deserve him. He's so good.
Truly so good.
He's so good. We don't deserve him. Mm-hmm. Well, it's about that time.
It is.
It's time for the other song.
Please don't go. I need you so. I'm begging.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Good Content.
And we hope that if this podcast was something that you found valuable, exciting, or even a little bit funny, that you'll share it with a friend.
And join us next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.